You know, I really appreciate what Sister Ellison had to say before they got ready to sing the song Amazing Grace, because unfortunately there's some people that wouldn't understand why you would sing a song like Amazing Grace at a Christmas service. Or I Surrender All at a Christmas service. I mean, shouldn't we be playing Silent Night, which I'm not against Silent Night. I mean, we played some Christmas hymns today, but I want to read you a couple things. Something's out of the sermon that I preached last Sunday morning, entitled, It's About the Cross. It's not about the manger where the baby laid. It's not about the angels that sang for him that day. It's not about the shepherds of the bright and shining star. It's not about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that I could be born again. It's all about the stone that was one day rolled away so that you and I could have everlasting life someday. It's about the cross. It's not about the presence underneath the tree. It's not about the feeling that this season brings to me. It's not about just coming home to see the ones you love. It's not about the beauty of the snow I'm dreaming of. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about Jesus being born once so that I could be born again. It's all about the love of God that was nailed to a tree. It's about every drop of blood that flowed from Him when it should have flowed from me. It's about the cross. Then something came to mind when I was up here on the platform, and I went and got this. She holds him close, her baby son, as wise men view the Holy One. So amazed at what she's done, she cries. She draws him gently to her breast, his tiny feet and hands caressed, not knowing just why she's been blessed, she cries. And she cries with tears of joy, for the waiting now is past, and she holds her baby boy at last, and she cries. But then she sees three crosses on a hill, and she knows that it's the Father's will, but she's so struck with grief that her heart stands still, and she cries. And there upon that mountainside, her disbelief she cannot hide, as her own son was crucified, and she cries. And she cries with tears of pain. It's the darkest hour she's ever known. How could they leave him there alone? And she cries. But then at a different time, in a different place, she looks upon the Master's face and all her sorrows gone and all the pains erased. And she cries. And she's so amazed at how this could be, but now it's all so plain to see while she bows before His Majesty. And she cries. And she cries with tears of joy. For the waiting hour is past, and she holds her risen King at last. And she cries. You know, the reason that we sing, I Surrender All and Amazing Grace at Christmas is because that was the whole reason that He came down to this earth in the first place, is to redeem sinful man from the condition that they had unfortunately got themselves into. And because He's made that decision, we should offer up to Him, especially on this Christmas morning, nothing less than absolute surrender. Have they passed out those papers and pens yet? Okay, if you guys would go ahead and do that. We're going to be needing, if you'll just keep those on hand, we're going to be needing them at the end of the service. I'm going to have a shorter sermon this morning. It's going to be the second half of the one that I preached last Sunday morning that was entitled A Christian View of Christmas. I'm really going to try to get be short. I know when I usually say that, it doesn't go over very well, and I'm not quite as short as what I'm hoping to be. But I realize we've got a lot of plans and a lot of different places to go, and not that we're being irreverent towards what we're celebrating today, but that's just the way things are in the hustle-bustle world that we live in, isn't it? But we want to make sure that while we're here in the house of God, we lift up His Son like He deserves to be lifted up. Amen. I cut a whole bunch of those, brothers, so if there should be plenty, just go ahead and just kind of hand them out. And they can be setting them down, passing them down while. And then if you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, we're going to be turning to three different places. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. in Romans chapter 12. We got everything handed out. Anybody still need a piece of paper or a pen? Am I doing all right? All right, let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now I want you to notice that out of verse 11. They presented unto him gifts. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Like I said, this is going to be the second part of the message that I started last Sunday morning. And we're going to entitle it, "Examining Our Commitment at Christmas." Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love you so very much. Lord, we lift you up in reverence and in praise for the decision that you made to come to this earth and for your goal and your purpose in coming here. Lord, if it would not have been for you, we could have never been redeemed from our sins. And because you paid such a great price to buy us back to have a right relationship with God, Lord, we want to make sure that we are surrendered unto you in full in every way. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as we're here gathered in your house to hear the Word of God preached. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me, move me out of the way, and send the Holy Ghost to preach through me. Lord, that a difference might be made in the hearts and lives of your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Examining our commitment at Christmas. Now, last week I preached a message about the monstrous attitude that society seems to demonstrate every single year around Christmas time. And what they do is they take a time where we're supposed to be celebrating the birth date of the Son of Almighty God, and what they do is they turn it into an all-out flesh fest. I mean, it's pretty safe to say that. And it happens to the place where kids become so consumed with all the things they're going to get and the presents they're going to have under the tree, that's the only thing that they even consider when it comes to the word Christmas. You say Christmas, and they don't think about the Son of God. They don't think about what the true meaning of Christmas actually stands for. They just think about all the stuff they're going to get. Bring on the loot is kind of the motto of a kid at Christmas. And then when it comes to parents, they feel so pressured by the tradition that, you know, society is established and they've taken on this mindset that I've got to go out and I've got to max out every credit card I have just so we can have a good Christmas. Because after all, if everybody doesn't get everything that they want, then it's not a good Christmas, right? And it's gotten to the place that the true meaning of Christmas has been almost completely forgotten in the hearts and minds of the majority of people in our world today. Even when this whole holiday season originated as and was supposed to remain a celebration about Him and Him alone. I mean, after all, when the angels came there in Luke chapter 2, they announced His birth, right? Not our wish list. I mean, they came to proclaim that a Savior was born, not that we were to be selfish and want to receive everything that we might desire at Christmas. I mean, when the wise men were following the heavenly star, they would find Christ. I mean, that was their desire, so that they could fall down before Him and worship Him and present their gifts to Him, not the other way around. And yet, that's exactly what our world has done. They've taken a day that is supposed to be all about Jesus Christ, and they've turned it into a holiday that's all about them instead. Where they are entirely focused on what they're going to get, but they never even remotely consider what He might want them to give on His birthday. And then we talked about three things that He does desire every single one of us to give Him on His birthday. First thing we talked about is the fact that He wants us to accept His sacrifice. Where we understand what His sacrifice consisted of. We come to the place where we understand the condition that we're in before we experience salvation. Where we realize that there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to ever reverse that condition. And where we understand that Christ is our only hope. And the reason is because He's the only acceptable sacrifice before God. And the reason why is because He's the only one that has never sinned. We also talked about the fact that He wants us to experience His salvation. Where we don't just have an understanding that He wants us to be born again and have all of our sins forgotten and forgiven by God, but He wants us to come to the place where we pass that intellectual knowledge and we go on to experience salvation for ourselves. To where we are genuinely born again. Then the last gift we talked about He wants to receive is He wants us to partake of all the benefits that He desires a child of God to experience. Things like a clear conscience, a new nature, the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, God's protection, His provision, His presence, His power. Everything that heaven affords is what God wants us to receive into our lives. And that was the main thrust of my altar call last Sunday morning, because I realized that we had a lot of visitors in that particular service that had never experienced those things in their lives like God desired them to. And a lot of times, probably a lot of those folks had never even heard those things presented to them in the way that they were. So I wanted to make sure that they would be given a chance to give God exactly what He desires of their lives, not just at Christmas, but from last Sunday on. But this week, we don't have a lot of visitors. I mean, this place was packed out with all the bus kids' parents wanting to see the Christmas program. I mean, we set it up to get them in here so we can preach to them. I mean, I'm all for Christmas plays and singings and all those different things. But my purpose as a pastor, the only thing I'm thinking about, not if they can hit the right key, I'm thinking, man, I hope that we can reach mom and dad in this service. But this week, all the visitors aren't here. And this morning I'm addressing a group of people that have already experienced those things that I was trying to get them to experience. You've already accepted His sacrifice, right? You've already experienced salvation. You've already went on to partake of those blessings that He wants to bestow upon your life. So does that mean that we're facing a dilemma this morning? I mean, because after all, it's still Christmas. Where we're supposed to bring our Savior an acceptable gift and lay it down at His feet. But we've already given Him all the things that we've talked about so far. So does that put Him in the same category as my dad? And I don't know if you guys got parents like this. But I always go up to him every year, hey dad, what would you like for Christmas? You know, give me some ideas. Oh, Jace, you ain't got to get me anything. I already have everything I want. I don't need anything. I mean, after all, we're having to get something for the Son of God. Doesn't He already have it all already? I mean, he's got a throne beside God himself. He's got heaven and everything that it affords. I mean, the entire universe was created just for his pleasure. I mean, what do you get somebody that already has everything? Plus, like I've said, we've already given those three things that we said last week, the desires of our life. So does that mean that we have nothing else left to give? Because we have to understand that that's exactly what the carnal nature tries to do in the heart and the life of a Christian. It tries to rise up and act like, since they've already experienced those three things that we talked about last week, where they've accepted his sacrifice, experienced his salvation, and started to partake of its benefits, then they act like there's nothing left for them to give. They've already got the greatest stuff. I mean, what else could he possibly want? But chances are that all of us have some things in our lives that the Lord still would desire for us to give him. I mean, after all, I want you to consider the last two scriptures that I read to you for a text in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, those verses are telling us exactly what the Lord desires from every single one of our lives this Christmas, which, quite frankly, is everything that we could possibly give him. Because these verses are calling every single Christian to offer up nothing less than an absolute surrender before God. An all-out commitment to Jesus Christ. A life that is completely and totally consecrated to him and him alone. I mean, we're called to the place where we've not only experienced salvation, but we're called to the place where we become increasingly sanctified. Where everything that we have and everything that we are is laid out as a sacrifice and offered up to the Lord. I mean, every single one of us is called to the place in our spiritual lives where we literally give Him all. That's what I want you to understand. Where we are no longer holding anything back. No more partial surrenders. No more halfway experiences or lukewarm commitments. But where we give Him all. We're being called to the place where we move past doctrinal creeds and intellectual head knowledge, and we go on to really experience what the Lord has called us to be. That's what He wants from every single one of our lives this Christmas. So even though we've already given Him the three things that we discussed last week, the Bible makes it more than clear that there still is plenty of things that we're able to give Him. In other words, our fulfilling those three things hasn't made him impossible to buy for, like some people do. But in all actuality, it's opened up a new realm of gifts that we can have the possibility of presenting to him. So to sum it up and to say it as clearly as I possibly can, what the Lord is desiring to receive from you this Christmas is all the things that up until now you've been unwilling to give him. Now, that means that his wish list could be different with every one of us, right? I mean, with some, he might begin dealing with your heart and life after I said that, saying, man, I want you to give me a genuine devotional life. Where you study my word every single day and grow in the knowledge and grace and begin to have an understanding of who I am, what I desire, and what I want to accomplish in you and through you. I mean, he might be dealing with your life. I mean, to begin studying his word and to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed anymore. He might be dealing with you to begin to pray and seek his face and have an intimate relationship with him in prayer like he desires you to. Where you speak to him and he speaks to you and your communication together is intact and it's vibrant and it's real and it's where you draw all of your spiritual energy, so to speak, from. There might be some people here that need God to help them to be able to worship God in an unreserved manner. Where they learn to press into the presence of God and worship Him in spirit and in truth like He desires for them to. Other people, He might deal with your heart to start witnessing. Because you know that there's a great commission that's been placed on your life. You know that souls are going by the multitudes in hell every single day. And He wants to use you to change their spiritual condition. To give them the gospel, the only message that is ever going to matter. And you haven't been doing that up until this point. Maybe He's starting to prick your heart and saying, hey, that's what I want you to give. Maybe you got some secret sin in your life that you're hiding from everybody else, but the Lord knows all about it. And He's finally wanting you to surrender that unto Him. The specific gift that He's desiring from our lives might be different with every single one of us. But when it all boils down, He is just desiring the same thing, which is for every single one of us to come to the place of absolute surrender before Him. To put it as plain as it gets, He wants us to take everything in our lives that we've been holding back from Him up until this point, wrap it up real nice, put a big fat bow on it, and now offer it up to Him unreservedly. Once and for all. No more holding back. No more halfway experience. But He wants us to give Him all, and He wants us to do it once and for all. Now, when it comes to the lost, we need to understand that at Christmas time, the devil would like nothing more than to keep their view of Jesus Christ as a little baby lying in a manger. Not as the bondage-breaking Savior that came to redeem them from all the things that hate Satan has them bound by. I mean, we know that's His goal. That's His agenda when it comes to a sinner. I mean, He doesn't care how many nativity scenes that they stare at, as long as they don't consider the man that grew up to do the work that He did and what it can accomplish in that particular person's life. I mean, He doesn't care about those things, just as long as He can keep them from experiencing salvation. But at the same time, we need to understand that when it comes to us Christians, He desires to keep the purpose of His coming narrowed down to Jesus just being a Savior. Now, don't get me wrong here. He wants to do that so that we stay stuck at the place of our initial salvation experience and we think that everything is okay since we've done it. In other words, He wants to keep sanctification a secret so that we never go on to experience things like being filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. We never get to experience something like being fruitful in the work of the ministry or being mightily used by God to further His kingdom. I mean, He says, listen, you can stare at the nativity as long as you don't get saved. But if I lose you there, then I just want you to focus in on salvation and accepting my sacrifice, experiencing salvation, partaking of some of the benefits, but being satisfied to stay right there. That is not why Jesus came to die for us, folks. That wasn't His purpose in coming. I mean, I understand that they said, listen, unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. But it wasn't the interest of Christ to come down and us just experience initial salvation. He's got a lot more that He wants to do with us after that. But so many times in the Christian church today, people become so satisfied with just meeting those three things. And they have the Spirit of God come down and deal with them, and they understand that they need to accept His sacrifice. That's the only way that they could be saved. So they say, well, listen, Lord, I understand that. I want to be saved. And He says, well, there's some conditions that you have to meet. And they say, well, I'm willing to meet those conditions. And they go on to experience salvation. And then the devil comes in with all of his might, his lies, and his power, and he tries to keep them right there for years and years in years. The whole time he tries to deceive them by saying, well, you've surrendered everything to the Lord. You've gotten saved. And the whole time the Spirit of God will come down and deal with them about something they might have to give up or something that the Lord might want them to take up. And the devil says, man, you ain't got to worry about that overboard stuff. Don't worry about that. You're saved. You've experienced salvation. You've accepted a sacrifice. You don't have anything else to give. Making sense? So this morning, before we come down to the altars, and we're going to have a good time of prayer, I'm trying to preach short for a reason. When we come down to these altars, we need to decide whether we're going to be willing to offer everything to the Lord or listen to the lies of the devil and just stay where we're at since we've been initially saved. We need to decide what we're going to be willing to offer. I mean, are we going to allow ourselves to really come to the place that He's calling us to experience, where we literally give Him every part of our lives and then go on to experience His best? Or are we going to be guilty of only offering up a gift to Him that fits into our own budget of convenience and comfort and make sure that nothing goes past that? It's my prayer that every single one of us would say, listen, the Lord's came and He's bled and died for me for a reason, and it's not just so I could be saved, but it's so that He could grow me into the person that He created me to be. And the only way that that's ever going to happen is if I allow Him to do it. And here's how we're going to do this. No doubt, as I've been preaching this short message, the Lord's been exposing some things in your life that you haven't surrendered to Him like you should. But this morning, He wants you to, before you ever leave this building, He wants you to give Him exactly what He is wanting this Christmas, which is all of you. He doesn't want you to just be saved. That's just the starting point, friend. So what I want us, each of us to do today, what we're going to do is we're going to take that piece of paper that we had handed out at the beginning of this message. We're going to write down on it what we need to offer up to God. I'm going to fold it in half, and then we're going to come and we're going to slide it into the top of this box as we come down around the altars. Okay? And this box is going to represent the gift that this congregation is going to offer up to the Lord this Christmas. And finally, what we're going to do is we're going to leave this church in the exact way that the Lord desires us to, which is being a living sacrifice unto Him. That really is holy and acceptable to God, because after all, it's just our reasonable service, right? We need to understand that this morning, we're being called to give our Savior the perfect gift for Christmas. And what the Lord's wanting to receive is everything that you've been holding back from Him until now. But the question is, are you going to be willing to give it? You know, as a dad, I love to get my kids gifts for Christmas. And the reason why is because I love them so much. And I'm pretty pathetic when it comes around Christmas time, because every cent that I have that, you know, I can use for something like that, you know, I'll go out and I'll do the best that I can to give them the best Christmas that they can possibly have. I mean, I'd be willing to go broke just to be a blessing unto them. Well, today that's the same way that we should feel about the Lord. We should love Him so much that we would be willing to give Him every... We would literally be willing to go broke inside of our spiritual lives so that we could be a blessing unto Him. As I was getting around different messages, considering what I was going to preach this morning, I had one that I thought was going to be pretty good, you know. And when you get a message like that, Brother Ryan, you know, you think, man, that's going to be pretty good. And the Lord put the brakes on it, and He said, I don't want you preaching on that. I want you to take a short amount of time to tell my people what they need to hear, and then I want you to give them some time to come down and pray about it like they should. We're getting ready to start a week of revival here in just a week, starting at the very beginning of January. What better way to start this year out than to surrender everything to Jesus Christ right now? Where all those things that are running through your mind or that you're writing down on that paper don't hold you down anymore. But you're being obedient to what the Word of God says, where we're to lay aside all the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And you say, listen, I'm not going to be beset anymore. I'm not going to let something slow me down. But I'm going to become the living sacrifice that is wholly acceptable unto God that He's calling me to be. You know, last week I talked about the fact that it's so strange that the things that God wants us to give Him for Christmas are things that are a blessing to us and not so much a blessing to Him. And this week it's the exact same way. I realize He's going to receive a blessing of receiving, you know, people that are fully surrendered to Him, and He's going to be able to use them and do mighty things through them, but think about what that's going to be like. Remember I said that one of the benefits of salvation is having a clear conscience? When I was lost in sin, I was sin sick. I was so tired of my sinful condition and the conviction that I had upon my life 24 hours a day that I didn't even want to live anymore. And it came down to the place where God backed me into the corner and He said, listen, either repent and feel that, you know, I mean, you either repent and get right with me, or you can just be miserable for the rest of your life. And I said, God, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And when I first got saved, man, I was on cloud nine. I mean, it was just awesome. But then as the Lord began to deal with me about things that I didn't want to give up, that feeling started to go away. You want to know why? Because I wasn't completely surrendered anymore. And the worst feeling that a Christian can have is to be a child of God and yet grieve the Holy Spirit because God's coming down and saying, I want you to take this up, or I want you to put this down, and you're not willing to. He'll never ask us to do something that He's not going to give us the ability to do. So it all boils down, are we willing? If you're sporadic in your church attendance, that's not the kind of sacrifice that the Lord wants to receive. Write it down, come down here and fix it. If you haven't been witnessing like you should, God's depending on His people to preach this message to a lost and dying world. He needs you. Write it down on that paper. Come down and give it to Him and change. If you're not reading, you're not praying, the list could go on and on, but you've got your own list. Bring it down here, put it in that box, and then when you get down at the altars to pray, whether you're going to pray at your seat or down around the front, I want you to do two things. Number one, make the commitment that, Lord, I am really going to do this. I don't want to feel like this anymore. A Christian should have no reason to feel condemnation. You hear what I said? We make mistakes and we might get convicted. I've made mistakes and when I did, I said, Lord, I don't want nothing to do with that. I can feel that it's unpleasing to You and I don't want to feel this way. But when you have things in your life that you're not correcting that you know need corrected, whether it be something you need to stop doing or something that you need to start doing, that's the worst feeling that a child of God could possibly have. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be. And this morning, I really believe that the Lord wants to help some folks with that. And He wants you to leave as the living sacrifice that He's called you to be. Let's stand. Sister Cree, if you could come back to the music. As good as the Lord's been to us, folks, don't you think that He deserves the best that we could possibly give? I mean, I would be hurt as a father, even when I realize my kids ain't got any money except the money that I give them. If today we're going to go home and we're going to open up our presents and have our Christmas after the service, I got to go right to my dad's after this, and then we're going to go home and do our thing. But if they said, you know, well, let's open the presents, and we all opened it up, and not so much as a card was given to dear old dad. Not even a page out of a coloring book from one of my little girls. Completely unthought of, or worse, you know, just didn't really see it as significant enough to give their best or even give anything at all. You know, it does us some good to put ourselves in the shoes of God, so to speak, if you allow that kind of thinking. And I wonder how He feels when He's done everything that He possibly could for us, met every provision, whether it be physical or spiritual, in our lives. And then when it comes time for Him to receive His gifts, we just got some coloring book stuff. When we got $1,000 sitting in the bank. It doesn't got to be that way. And here's what I want you to understand. If you'll just obey what the Spirit of God is trying to deal with your heart and life about today, when you get up after you've made that commitment and you've presented that offering to the Lord, you can leave in joy knowing that you're in right standing and that you're not holding anything back. Because we're not just going to come around the altars and pray and give, you know, make our commitments unto the Lord, but I also want you to say, Lord, I obviously have some trouble with these things or I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in right now. So I also want You to give me the strength to be able to go out and do what I'm committing unto You. You know, one of the most important verses in the Bible is Philippians chapter 2:13 that tells us that God will give us the desire to do everything He asks us to do and the ability to do everything that He asks us to do. We've just got to submit ourselves to that. And that's all He's asking us to do. Don't you think He deserves our best? Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord. We love You and appreciate You. And because of how good You are to us, because of who You are, Lord, we're going to come down and surrender absolutely everything to You. We're not going to give You a dirty, tattered gift for Christmas, but Lord, we're going to give You the best that we could possibly give. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to each and every one about the gift that You desire to receive from them personally. And that they would come down and humbly submit themselves, offering that up to You as they pray and make that commitment, and at the same time ask for Your strength and for the desire to be able to follow through with it in the way that You desire them to. Lord, we're so thankful that when we fail You and we have insufficiencies and shortcomings in our spiritual lives, Lord, that You don't just push us aside, You don't just give us over to a reprobate mind immediately, but You deal with us. You'll use a service like this to deal with the hearts and lives of Your people so that they could be drawn closer to You, so that they can fix the problem instead of having to deal with the consequences that'll come as a result. Thank You, Lord. You deserve nothing but the best. And that's what we plan to give. Hallelujah. Let's come and pray.